Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse 14 this morning. Paul says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Says God to help us this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. And Father, we want to run this race to win. We want to fight the good fight of faith, but we have to do it in your strength and in your power. And we do ask that you would instruct us through your word how to do these things to your glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your son who died for our sins. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul, by using the analogy or picture of a Roman soldier, continues to instruct us on what the whole armor of God is. And he tells us what we're looking at today is how to spiritually put it on. Now, this armor is spiritual clothing. And it's just our spiritual clothes and the spiritual weapons that every Christian will need before they leave this world. And they're going to need this clothing in order to wage a victorious warfare against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And they will need these clothes that we're talking about to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and to be able to withstand in the evil day. So this verse 16 brings us to the next piece of armor protection. Paul says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Now, the shield of faith starts a new group of armor, which includes the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this group is different from the first group that we looked at. And the first group we looked at was the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and we had our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, these were parts of the armor that the soldier put on his body. Paul talks about having girded, having put on, and having shod. So these first three pieces are firmly fixed. They are strapped to the soldier's body. And these pieces were immovable, and they were preparatory for the soldier to go into battle. So the soldier, even when he was sitting around and resting, he never took those pieces off. He stayed on the alert. He was ready for battle at all times. But this group, the Apostle Paul introduces now, Paul says this. He says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Now, the question comes up is, what does he mean by "above all"? Because some people would interpret this expression "above all" that Paul is saying above everything else and importance, take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and which is the word of God, and the helmet of salvation. The better translation would be this: in addition to all. The more literal Greek would read it like this. He would say, in addition to everything, having taken up the long shield of faith in connection with you, will be able to extinguish all the arrows of the wicked one, those that have been set on fire. So what Paul is basically saying when he says in addition, he's saying in addition to these three parts of armor that we have already mentioned, take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit as well. To simplify everything, if you say, basically, what is the whole armor of God? The whole armor of God is truth. The whole armor of God is righteousness. The whole armor of God is the gospel of peace. The whole armor of God is faith, is salvation. It's the word of God in prayer. So if you want to interpret what it really is, it's those things that we just said. So now what we look at today is, if the alarm is sounded and the enemy is attacking the soldier, he will immediately take hold of his shield and his sword. He will put his helmet on his head, and he will immediately go out to battle. So let's look at the shield of faith. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul is conveying spiritual truth by the means of pictures and analogies. The shield that was used by a Roman soldier, whom Paul is using as an example, was a very large shield. These shields were about 4 feet long and 2 feet wide. In other words, the idea was that you had a door in front of you when you was going into battle, and it would cover your whole body. Now, later, they changed the design of this shield to an oblong-shaped shield, and it still covered the whole body. But the most important fact about this shield is that it had a fireproof metal lining placed upon this. Now, the shield itself, it was made of wood, but it had this fireproof metal lining on it, and they held it up when they went into fire, when they went into battle, because when the enemy would come and be throwing these fiery, I'm going to say, arrows at them, it would hit that shield, and then it would fall to the ground. Now, you say, well, what about these fiery arrows that they were throwing at them? These fiery arrows were made of wood, or they were made of metal. And one key thing about these arrows that they threw at these soldiers is that they had a sharp point. Now, can you imagine an arrow or a dart, and they took these darts with these sharp points, and they threw them at the other soldier, and they were fiery when they threw them. Now, you say, well, how did they get fiery? Well, what they did is they wrapped this inflammable material around the point of this dart or this arrow. And this material had been soaked in an inflammable material and substance, so they would ignite this material on this arrow when they threw it. And when they threw it, it was fiery, and it would burst in flames, and they would throw it at the enemy. Now, the soldier, if he did not have up his shield and got hit by one of these burning arrows, then he would be severely injured, and sometime it would kill him or it would burn him up. Another strategy of the enemy with these arrows is that he would shoot these arrows at the enemies from different positions at all times. Every direction that he could think of, he would throw them into the camp all at the same time. And he did this so that confusion and panic would take place in the camp, so that they would be disoriented or so that they would be disorganized, and it would keep them from being able to fight back because they couldn't keep their minds on what they needed to do. And so when he would get them disoriented, then they would rob, steal, kill, and destroy and do everything they wanted to do. So that's just a nice battle story for you this morning. But the spiritual application for us this morning is the fiery darts that were being thrown at the believer are thrown by the wicked one, the devil. I've told you all through this series that we've been looking at, if you are a Christian, the devil is going to be after you. You're not the exception. And when fiery darts come in your life, don't think it's strange what is happening. Because he went after God's original creation, and the devil is going after God's new creation. And if you're part of God's new creation, you better be ready to fight, because the devil wants you. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, if you're a pastor or a preacher or anybody that heralds the word of God, be ready to fight, because the devil will come. But, you know, these fiery darts were being thrown at the believer. It's about a wicked one. And the reason why I say specifically that they are thrown by the devil is because some translations will say that these fiery darts are thrown at God's people by the wicked. But the word in the original text means the wicked one. And this is very important to know who's throwing the darts, because Paul is not saying that we're just fighting against evil as something abstract or something that is impersonal. You got to remember earlier, we spoke of the wiles of the devil. We spoke of his schemes and his traps as a person. Paul is talking about the rulers of darkness and the wickedness of this world. We're fighting against spiritual persons. We're fighting against spiritual forces and beings in this world. So the wicked one is the devil. And what the devil does, he commands a diversity of powers and agents, and he controls them. For example, we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three persons in one Godhead. God is personal. He's not a force or a power. He's personal. And so also these powers of darkness are personal. We're fighting against personal agents, intelligent beings, and there is no such thing as abstract evil. This is for real. These are real beings that are against the church of God. Think about it this morning. There would be no evil in the world if there were no evil persons. Why are evil beings in the world? Why are people evil in this world? It's because an evil being entered God's creation, tempted and seduced man, and he caused man to fall into sin in Genesis chapter 3, and he is still tempting, accusing, and plotting, and enticing men each and every day that this earth goes on and on in history. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it speaks of the serpent who deceived Eve by his craftiness. He's called a serpent. That is a person. Revelation 12:9, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Matthew 4:3, Jesus called him the tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, the apostle Paul called him the tempter. So basically what we're saying is the darts that are being thrown at the Christians are being thrown at you by an evil being. Now, let's describe these darts. These darts are simply symbols of these fierce attacks that the Satan would throw at the people of God. He shoots these arrows at the souls of believers. These are fiery darts, and they are simply an addition to all the other things and instruments and activities that Satan will use against the people of God. And what he wants to do is attack and assault the soul of any believer that he can. People said, you know, this is going about a little bit too far. I'm telling you, there is a devil. Whether you believe it or not, there is a devil. And the reason why the world doesn't understand that there is a devil, number one, they're unconverted. And the other reason why is because they are at peace with him. The reason why you fight is because you are not at peace with him. Because if you're not at peace with the devil, if you're at peace with the devil, you don't have to fight him. You know, you are his enemy. And that's what Paul is saying. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's our adversary. Men of the past speak of experiencing warfare with the devil. Martin Luther and John Bunyan specifically dealt with this aspect of spiritual warfare. Luther speaks at one time of being deeply conscious of one specific time in his life of the devil's presence in the room with him. It got so bad for Luther, he started throwing stuff at the walls because the devil was pestering him, I don't know what kind of way, so bad. And he says, whatever he tried to do, Satan would relentlessly hurl fiery darts at him. Have you ever had a day in your life when the enemy seems to have his target placed specifically on you? In other words, darts coming at you from each and every direction that you can think of. You say, what are you talking about fiery darts? Well, the most common form for us of fiery darts will come in thoughts and suggestions. You say, what do you mean by thoughts? Invisible, fiery arrows that nobody can see but you and God. I can't see what's going on in your mind. You can't see what's going on in my mind. I can't see what's going on in your mind when you're being tormented in trials and tribulations. But God can see it, and the devil's in on it, and nobody else can see it. That's why we don't really understand what people go through when they're tormented in their minds in a situation with trials and tribulations and things. Evil thoughts or suggestions. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, have you ever been bombarded with thoughts that come to you that you weren't thinking or desired to think? You say, what are you saying? Did thoughts ever come to your mind from nowhere? And you go like, where did that come from? Well, let me tell you this. Now, sometimes thoughts can come from you, but I'm saying there's times when you wasn't even thinking about something, and all of a sudden, here it comes. It did not come from God. It came from the enemy of your soul, especially evil thoughts or suggestions, hateful thoughts, blasphemous thoughts, and specifically about other people. Have you ever had fearful thoughts come? Anxious thoughts. I'm going to say something silly. A bump comes up on your arm. Oh, I'm going to die of cancer. The devil told you that. And people go, we're so panicky in this day that we live in. He has a lot to deal with and a lot to frighten people with. I've had thoughts before, and you think about these awful tragedies that could happen, and I could be asleep at night, somebody could crawl through the window and kill me while I'm asleep because I didn't wake up, and Benicia didn't wake up, so we're dead. you don't have to think like I think like it sometimes. And you understand what I'm saying? Thoughts that just come from nowhere. You shouldn't even be thinking that. But specifically toward other people and fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts, all these kind of things. But some of the greatest saints that lived down through history were plagued with thoughts of doubt and unbelief. I tell you one big thing that the devil does bring, and that's imaginations. Great men of God experienced a lot of this. And imagination has to do with the power of forming pictures in the mind, specifically of things that are not real. And this is one of the fiery darts that's heralded us by Satan, and it can take the form of all kind of imaginations where he paints pictures of things that are not real, and he tempts us with them. And this is a much used wild of the devil, especially in relationships between believers, and especially in relationships in marriages, especially in relationships with friends. You know, this forms of imaginations can be one of the greatest schemes that he can use. Imaginations and thoughts formed in the mind have, believe it or not, have split churches. You know why? Because ungodly thoughts, hateful and wicked thoughts come to the people of God and they refuse to fight against them. You say, well, what should I do when these thoughts come? Lift up the shield of faith. What does the word of God say? You know, and it seems like sometimes when we get in this war and stuff, we forget all scripture. Sometimes you get in war, you forget I'm a Christian. You just jump on in it and don't have anything to fight with and forget you're a Christian. And the only thing you can do is fight like the world fights. Now, you have to put on the whole armor of God. And when he brings these thoughts, you have to fight back. He can conjure up schemes and depict events and can paint things in the mind and cause them to be so real. And then you know what he does when he puts them in your mind? You know what he does? He says, think on these things. And the Apostle Paul, my brother Derek is going to teach us one day, it says, think on these other things. Think on whatsoever is holy, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is righteous. Think on good things. And don't think on these things. But he wants to conjure that up in your mind, and he wants you to think on these things, and he wants you to stay mad all your life at somebody. And everything that you painted in your mind, it wasn't even real. And you waste your time thinking on something that is not real. The devil does it all the time. Well, anyway, these things are the exact opposite of what Paul told us to do. And also he will hurl his fiery darts at us in the realm of the desires, the passions, and the lust. And what Satan does is he inflames them, he incites them, he arouses them. He arouses them with tremendous, tremendous heat. Now you youth today, with raging hormones, be sure that you don't let Satan cause you to commit sin in your thoughts and in your mind. And the reason why I say that this morning is because in 2019, he has plenty of material to work with. This is the most vulgar generation that's probably been in America, period. And with all the electronics and things like that, and I'm not against cell phones and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I remember in the 80s, we was going like, the TV is the worst thing that's ever been. It's killing people and everything. Nope. Little thing about that big. Took over for the TV. You know, we have somebody real close to us in our life, and you know, it just was real good. Not a good person, but just pleasant to get along with. You know, doing real good. We look forward to seeing them and stuff like that. And he's a kid. He got a cell phone. Complete turn. Total different person. I'll tell you how bad it was. We can't even stand to be around him because of that thing. And it's not the cell phone itself. It's just fodder that the devil can work with. And so the Christian can have a cell phone, but he has to guard his mind. He has to guard his heart. He has to put up the shield of faith. He has to fight. He has to make sure that just because he's got that he doesn't look at everything on the cell phone. He don't need to look at everything on the cell phone. But the devil has that to work with. He's also plagued some of the most noble saints throughout history with blasphemous thoughts about God and Jesus Christ. And his hope is that once he brings those attacks to your mind that you think that you're thinking these, and then you thinking that you're not saved. Now, sometimes he will bring these blasphemous thoughts to your mind, and you have to cast them down with the word of God. God don't love you. You know, you don't belong to God. And you got all these scriptures to say God is good and all these things that we could speak back with him that are scripture that you should speak to him. But what he wants to do is he wants to shake or confuse you. He wants you to question your salvation. And let me ask you this. You can be praying or reading the word of God, trying to concentrate on God and worship and adore him. And out of nowhere comes these distracting, vain, evil, fearful thoughts and ideas. Out of nowhere. When something comes to your mind out of nowhere, they come from the bowl of Satan. And he's trying to distract you from serving the true and living God. You know, people can pick up a newspaper, but I don't think people read newspapers no more. But anyway, look at YouTube or TV and a magazine or something like that and easily concentrate on those things. But sit down and try to do something spiritual. Are y'all with me? Sit down and try to do something spiritual. And here comes all these distractions, all these suggestions from outside of us. And you have to go to war with it. Because Satan doesn't want you concentrating on spiritual things. Because you can defeat him if you do. So we must be spiritual ready for anything that comes in whatever form that it comes, because the history of the people of God speaks of many fiery trials. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Nobody who follows our Lord Jesus Christ will escape this. You're going to have these fiery trials. And a lot of times the devil is behind a lot of them. But God has given us a shield that we can use in this warfare, and that it will quench every fiery dart of the devil. Now let's describe the shield of faith. I was bragging to somebody last time. I said, this time I'm going to get through like 3 pieces of armor. Not today. Because I know we need this. I know the period of history we're living in. And, you know, I've been on this earth long enough now to see so many changes, and I'm going like, we are in sad shape as far as a nation, as a church and everything. And I'm talking about me. I'm going like, you're pitiful sometimes when you read of the saints of old. You say, yeah, but, you know, you need to get more modern. No, I need to stay saved. I don't care about modern. I won't get to heaven. And I need to stay saved. And I need to put the enemy under my feet. And you can't do it unless you battle back with him. I could care less about being modern. Well, what's the shield of faith? Paul teaches us that we need to take the shield of faith because it's the only thing that will quench all the fiery darts of the devil and protect us, because he's going to be shooting them at us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So we must remember to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And Paul is telling us here to be ready to cast down these fiery darts as the devil shoots them at us, because we will be ready from all directions if we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we will be able to turn and fight in any direction that we need to when these darts come at us. And we need to be able to be moved. We need to be agile. We need to be ready. We need to be on guard. We need to guard the four corners of our mind. Quench dart here. Turn and quench a dart here. You know, we're told to resist our adversary steadfast in the faith. You're going to fight. Resist means fight. John says in 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So basically, what is the shield of faith? Well, it has two sides to it. It's subjective and objective. Faith is both. True faith involves both of these. Objective faith is the truth of the word of God. And the truth of the word of God is the object of what you believe. Subjective faith is action on our part It's our experience in believing and putting the truth into practice into our lives. So Paul instructs the Ephesians to take the shield of faith, and where he used faith here is simply the ability to apply quickly what you believe. I'm telling you, if you don't know at least some of your Bible, you have absolutely nothing to fight with. And I'm not saying a new Christian has to know the Bible all the way through, but if you are a new Christian, you need to start reading your Bible. People say, well, that's bondage and whatever they call it. I'm going, listen, the devil will come after you if you're a new Christian. You need to start reading your Bible. And if you don't want to read your Bible, then you need to become a new Christian. Because that desire should be there to read the Bible. I didn't say you had to be a theologian, but that should be your meditation day and night. You know, your life is completely changed. This is what you live by. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. But what I was going to tell you here before I got that rant there, that the Satan is going to try to overthrow us, and we need to hold up the shield of faith. And what the shield of faith is that you need to be able to apply quickly the things which you believe. We need to be able to repel everything that he tries to throw at us. And faith is always practical. Faith is always applying of the truth. The truth is the object of your faith, is basically what I'm saying. James chapter 2, he says, faith without works is dead, or no faith at all. And works means corresponding action. And there is always an element of activity in what you call true faith. True faith will hold up the shield of the word of God in the midst of warfare. So when Paul speaks of the shield of faith, it's a quick application of what we believe as an answer to everything that the devil would throw at us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And what Paul is saying, as we live in this world, we carry the shield of faith with us everywhere we go. And we live according to the word of God. And that is your shield of faith. So when we talk about the shield of faith, and this is something they taught us wrong in the charismatic church that we were in, I'm not telling you to have faith in your faith. I'm not telling you to have faith in your ability to believe. True faith never points to itself. True faith always points to Christ. Mark 11:22, Jesus told Peter, have faith in God. Charismatics have read that scripture. He's talking about move the mountain and move the trees and all that kind of stuff. First thing he said is have faith in God. Your believing ain't going to move a mountain or a tree. God moves the mountain or the tree. And so it's your faith in God that will get the mountain or the tree moved and out of your way. Because there's nothing in your faith that is good. There's nothing in your faith in itself that will protect you as a man or a woman. Faith that makes us strong and protects us, it always points to its object. And that object should be God and his holy word. Romans chapter 4, and we won't look at that this morning all the way, but we have the example of Abraham. And this example teaches us what true faith is. We see in this passage, it says, the faith of Abraham led him to embrace God and his promise. Now, true faith always points to and embraces God. And when I say true faith embraces God, you embrace his character, you embrace his power, you embrace his promises that he has given to you, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school. True faith holds on to the promises of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he said, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in the faith, giving glory to God. It was his faith in God that kept him strong. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You say, what will get me through these wars with Satan? Faith in God. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the character of God. Faith in the promises of God. And every one of these are found in the infallible word of God. I tell you this morning, brethren, Satan don't care about your logic. Satan don't care about anything that's carnal, and that's what he wants you to fight him with. No, you have to use the shield of faith, which is the word of God. God gave some great promises to Abraham. One of them is in Genesis 15, 1. He said, after these things, the word of God came to Abraham in a vision, saying, be not afraid, Abram, for I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. When Abraham embraced this promise in his heart, he was holding on to the shield of faith. You say, God told him what the promise was, but he had to embrace it in his heart. And when he embraced it in his heart, he's holding on to the shield of faith. Somebody prayed this morning, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, when you're fearful and you think all things are coming apart in your life, hold up that shield. God is with me. You know, Psalm 23, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. You're with me. You say, but I don't feel him or touch him. Just believe him. You don't have to feel him or touch him. I had to learn a long time. It was a long time before I got saved because I thought you had to have a feeling. Well, I would have never known I was saved if I kept on with that. But somebody told me what faith was believing and trusting. And then I understood it better. And that's how, you know, I probably was already saved. But I was waiting for this great feeling to come out of heaven. And I was going to be this angel with wings. Now, some of you think I got wings, but I don't. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Would you come down here? No. No, I had to believe that it happened. And you know how you had to believe? You have to hold on to the promise of God. If you will believe in your heart that Christ, God is raising from the dead, yeah, thou shalt be saved. That's what you need to believe. But God told Abraham he was his shield. I'll give you a few more scriptures this morning. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very help, present help in trouble. And then the psalmist says, therefore, I will not fear. Some of you say, well, what would you be fearful of? Ask anybody in this room that's been tormented with fear what fear is like. And then you'll understand what fear is all about. Vanessa, I tell you, she went through a bout with that, and we weren't even saved then. You know, that's amazing because I wasn't saved, but when she went through this thing, we went to look for a preacher. Because we knew that was on this place where this help was. And so I wish I would have known this scripture right there and we could have worked through a little bit better. But anyway, after we got saved later, we could see that, you know, we had no need to fear because God was with us. And that was the shield of faith when we held it up. When Satan shoots these fiery darts of disaster, fear, and unbelief and confusion, take up the shield of faith. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That is the shield. So, to conclude this morning, the shield of faith points us to the power of God. And once we're hidden behind the power of God, all the fiery darts of the wicked one will be quenched. He can beat you, but he can't beat God. Y'all with me? And I look for the day when the church will start believing that. Because when you get in these battles, and you know, we'll tell you as pastors, we'll help you and pray for you as much as we can. But if I came to your house one night and then I pray for you and I go back home at night, guess what? Satan's coming back. I said he's coming back. He's not going to leave you alone. But I tell you one thing, if you put up the shield of faith and you use these spiritual weapons, he will leave you alone. Because then God is fighting for you. And you need to put your faith in God and not in men. Put it in God. That's why Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God. So, just for application this morning, the shield of faith in the omnipotent God will quench or put out all the fiery-tipped arrows that Satan will shoot at you. 1 Peter 5:9, we are instructed to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. And you're not trying to do it in some kind of feeling called faith, but what faith will do is faith will lead you to Almighty God. Romans 8:7, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's when you're holding up the shield of faith. It just simply means that you're depending on God and his grace in Jesus Christ. What you need to do is you need to link your mind and thoughts to him who has all power, because this is how you hold up and this is how you are saved in the midst of these battles. And this is how you survive in spiritual warfare. So next time, brethren, we'll probably look at the helmet of salvation, and then we'll take up an offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, we will get these clothes on and hopefully be ready to fight. Because this is serious. I told him Wednesday night in the class Wednesday night, I'm going to get Jim when he comes back for leaving when he's preaching through the book of Revelation on the two witnesses. Now, we had fun looking at that, but I'll get him when he gets back. But anyway, when we look at these things, it brings you into reality what's going to happen to this world. And the one thing we saw Wednesday night is there is a day coming when the gospel will go out no more. There's a day coming when the mouth of the church will be shut. And the reason why I say that this morning, because if you're a sinner this morning, it's a mercy of God that you're just hearing anything out of the word of God. It has nothing to do with the man or the preacher and everything, but what you are doing right now, you are living in the day of grace. And you're able to hear the word of God because nothing will save you but the word of God. And this devil that we're talking about this morning, he wants you in the pit with him and his angels. He wants you there. But I call you this morning to repent and believe the gospel. I call you this morning to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I call you this morning, come while it is today, for the night will come when man can no longer work. Today is the day of salvation. Brethren, that shield of faith will shield us from every attack of the devil. And I promise you as a church, he's going to throw some more arrows at us again and again and again. If Derek pastors here 60 years, over 60 years, they're going to see arrows come in here all the time, again and again and again. So you youth that's living here, you know, y'all trying to get us old ones out of the way, you better hope we don't leave till you learn how to fight. Because the day is coming when you're going to stand on your own two feet. The day is coming where you're going to have to hold up the shield of faith and you're going to have to fight against the enemy of your soul, because that day will come for every church. It never stops. It'll never stop until the Lord Jesus returns unto this earth. And then it'll all be over and we won't have to worry about fighting anymore. I love the sound, there will be war no more. You know why? I think about spiritual war. And I don't want to see more on the earth, but I think about spiritual war because it drags you down. I mean, you know, you get up every day and you say, you know, I could just go out and enjoy the sunset and everything else. And before you know it, you're fighting because of the way the world is. But you've lived in a day of common grace, and I don't know how long the common grace will be here. But one thing I do tell you this morning, put up the shield of faith and the devil will not bring you down. Because it's God fighting for you. You're not fighting in your own power. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning that you're our shield, our buckler, our God in whom we trust. Father, we ask you to forgive us for the times that we've had faith in ourselves and not in you. Father, we have faith in your power. We have faith in your might. We have faith in your strength. And Father, we pray that you would help us as we fight these battles to hold up the shield of faith, whereby we can quench all the fiery darts of Satan. Father, we pray that those that are not saved this morning, that you will bring them into your kingdom. Lord, that you will bring them up and that you will give them faith. And Lord, that they will begin to fight the good fight of faith and take hold on eternal life. Father, our heart's desire is that none would be lost. And Father, we know that only you can save. And Father, we pray this morning that you will show your power in the midst of your people. Father, we thank you for this day in your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.